Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. Did you watch Game of Thrones last night? There's a catchphrase from that show working its way around Washington lately. People watching the healthcare debate. They say,
what is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die. At least four times over the last few weeks, Republican attempts to get a healthcare policy have been declared dead in Washington. And every time a new version springs up in its place, lurches toward the Senate floor, only to die again. After last Thursday's stunning defeat, the Republican leader tried to finally bury his four attempts to pass an Obamacare repeal.
We look forward to our colleagues on the other side suggesting what they have in mind. So now, Mr. President, it's time to move on.
McConnell says Obamacare repeal is dead, and no sooner does he do that than the president takes to Twitter, ridicules Republicans for giving up, and then a group of GOP lawmakers, including Lindsey Graham, pops up at the White House, still trying to find a way to get the 50 votes that they need to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act.
What is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die, indeed. There have been calls for a bipartisan path to try and fix Obamacare. John McCain says he wants it. Some other Republicans say they're willing to at least sit with Democrats and listen. But Republicans and Democrats working together on the most partisan issue in a hyperpartisan age? Could Lindsey Graham and his friends find a way that Mitch McConnell couldn't to pass repeal? Right now, Republicans' number one political promise appears dead. But maybe it's too important to be allowed to ever really die. Joanne Kennan is the executive editor for healthcare at Politico, and she joins me now on the state of the Obamacare repeal zombie, whether it lives or dies, and whether bipartisan healthcare is a creature that real-world Washington is ever likely to see.
There are a number of pathways forward, including just struggling for the votes, which is what the president kept tweeting over the weekend. They don't have the votes, but whether they try to come up with another partisan approach, whether they do something much smaller and declare victory, or whether they'd switch to a whole different approach involving greater state flexibility or this elusive thing that they used to call bipartisanship, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of these possibilities here. And we'll start with Lindsey Graham and friends, who I mentioned, who rushed over to the White House right after the latest defeat and tried to give a glimmer of hope to Republican partisan efforts to do this alone. What are they talking about?
It basically involves taking the revenue that comes in to finance Obamacare and basically giving it to the states and saying, you figure it out. It's a variant of another proposal by Senator Collins and Senator Cassidy that had been floating around in the background for a while and never really got any traction. So the Graham plan is in the spotlight today. Whether it gains traction or whether it falls apart, too soon to tell.
And while all this happens, Mitch McConnell, of course, says it's time to move on. He just watches from his perch in the Senate and says, if you all can come up with something, I'll entertain the idea. What's his strategy here? Or is he truly finished?
Remember that he thought the bill was dead. And then they actually did get it to the floor. And then at 1:30 in the morning on Friday, he lost it. So he's really not in a good mood. So he's taking stock. I don't think he wants the Senate to stay stuck on it. I think he would like to move on to tax reform and some other issues. I think if there was a deal that let them move forward, I don't think he'd block it. But he said he doesn't want just to give money to the insurance companies and call it a victory.
And the idea of giving money to insurance companies, Joanne Kennan, is getting increasingly important. There's these cost-sharing reductions that insurance companies rely on to keep many of the exchanges going. The president has some control over that money and has now threatened in more ways than one to cut off the tap, basically taking the approach that if Republicans in Congress can't repeal Obamacare, he'll simply work to undermine it.
It's not just undermining, it's blowing it up. These subsidies, help lower-income people pay their out-of-pocket costs, their deductibles, their co-pays. You know, when they go to the doctor, they don't have to shell out the money. The insurers have to pay it. It's around $7 or $8 billion a year, and they have to pay it, and the government is supposed to reimburse them. Well, there's been a fight between Congress and originally the Obama administration over that money. The Obama administration was paying it. The Congress said that they hadn't approved those payments. It's pending in court. The first round of that court case actually went to the Republicans in the House. The White House has continued to pay them. But Trump pretty much every month says, you know, I don't really want to pay them. And that's really become very, very, very loud in the last few days. The president apparently believes that he stops the subsidies, Obamacare goes into a real crisis. He thinks the Democrats would then, you know, have to come and cut a deal with him. That's far from clear. Meanwhile, if he does stop them, as he's threatening to do, some of the insurers would just say, okay, I've had it, I'm out of here, I'm not going to stay in the markets next year. Others might stay in, but they would then raise their premiums even more to make up for that $8 billion or $7 billion that they're counting on and that the government spigot may turn off. We've been told, Kellyanne Conway said it on TV on Sunday, that decision would come this week, possibly today or tomorrow. It may be that his advisors talk him down and say, well, you know, there's this new proposal by Senator Graham, let's look at that, let's see if we can make that work. That might buy some time, whether it is part of some kind of bipartisan fix that we're not there yet. But there are some preliminary, I wouldn't say robust, high-level conversations about bipartisanship, but there's some conversations. It's hard to get there, though, right? I mean, if you've been screaming at each other at the top of your lungs for 7 years, it's really hard to say, oh, let's go do this together in a nice bipartisan way. They need a little time to take their breath and regroup and try to find a path, if they can find that path.
So, Joanne, what realistically does bipartisanship look like now that there's a couple senators saying they're willing to at least have the conversation?
There are a couple of senators in public saying that, and there are also some people talking behind the scenes. And there's also a group of about 40 Republicans and Democrat centrists on the House side that are having conversations that today are releasing a plan that Politico reported last night. I mean, it's just a very preliminary, here's some basic ideas to move us forward, and they, that group themselves, can't make this happen, but it's a starting point. And it is including these cost-sharing subsidies would continue. There would be some form of stabilization funds for the insurers, either through the states or whatever mechanism they choose. So what is that magic formula where both sides can say, okay, we fixed it, neither one of them are really happy, but both of them can live with it, and Obamacare becomes less fragile. That it, you know, in some states it works well, in some states it's not working well. It does work better than its critics say. I mean, I can see a pathway toward a bipartisan deal. You know, I can see anything from Trump pulling out this sort of, you know, financial grenade and stopping things and really blowing it up to some kind of quiet discussions that do lead to some kind of bipartisan solution that would probably involve some degree of moving the control and decisions from Washington up to a point to the states.
Joanne Kennan, executive editor for healthcare at Politico. Thanks a lot.
Great to be here.